Broadcasting live from the Bank 59 studios at the ultimate crossroads of business and community, the Wisconsin State Fair. It's time for the Upswing on WTMJ. Here's Jeff Sherman.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee.
Good morning, West Dallas.
Here we are live from the Bank 59 studio right here at the Wisconsin State Fair. Easy drive in this morning, right into Gate 1, parked, came through the historic, wonderful, magnificent Milwaukee Mile. Walk right in, and here we are in the studio, joined, as always, on Thursdays. Well, it's the future of almost everything on Thursdays with Steve Glenn.
Yes.
No Martin Moore, though. Martin had some obligations work-wise that he had to be at today, but he'll be back next Thursday. But nonetheless, we're going to tear through the future of almost everything live from the State Fair here. What we do on Thursdays, it's local analysis. It's national analysis, business issues, unique technology and community trends and takes on important news you can use. Since we're at the State Fair, we're going to talk about Spin City. You love Spin City, don't you?
Sure, yeah, it's fun, it's wild, it's everything. It's what, you know, it's what you think about when you think about part of
the
what
lights,
you think about
the lights, the rides, the attractions, that's what it's all about. But there's some new technology this year there, there's some new rides, there's some new ways to access it, and I think it's going to be really good for fairgoers, for sure. We're going to eventually, we have our wonderful Upswing staff working on this, but we're going to look into how much does the Cream Puff Pavilion bring in every year? What's a six-pack cost there during the fair and after the fair? What's the economics around the Milk House? I'm going to actually work there the last Sunday.
Yeah.
Doing a little volunteer for the foundation here at the Wisconsin State Fair, serving milk, a wonderful tradition. What's the prize money for some of the winning animals? And what's it cost to take a family of four to the State Fair? You got in this morning fairly easy with a good promotion, right, Steve?
It was, you know, it's first day, but it was super easy. I got in. Security was fast. I went to the kiosk. $5 to get in today. It was awesome.
All right. Very good. So three other big stories. Alexa is losing billions for Amazon. Local retail, some challenges right here in Milwaukee. And as I said, we're going to dive into the economics and the logistics around Spin City. But first, we're going to have some morning coffee. Is brewless espresso the future of coffee, Steve? Here's the story.
Yeah.
America's first brewless coffee is made in Chicago. Instant coffee. Remember instant coffee?
I do.
Are you old enough to remember that?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, easy. You put it in a glass, you just kind of stir it up.
Yeah.
It never really tasted all that great, though. But
yeah,
a company called Diamond Brew made a move kind of towards more high, upscale coffee at home, has something new for consumers that's really convenient, prepackaged cold brew options from established brands. It's Diamond Brew Brewless Craft Espresso. The company has created this proprietary freeze-dried process that locks in the flavor with freshly brewed coffee concentrate at a negative 40 temperature. Mm-hmm. Once it's frozen, it's cracked into this little tiny shelf-stable strands. Instant coffee, on the other hand, it's typically dehydrated and spray-dried in powder form. So it's a whole new process, a little bit more caffeine, but super high-end. Diamond Brew pods have 160 milligrams of caffeine, more than a double shot of espresso. So that's going to get your morning going. What do you think? What would you pay for a high-end pod coffee experience at home, Steve?
$5.
$5 per cup?
Yeah.
Wow, you're a baller.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that what you would... The way you described this...
is super high-end.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see.
$20 for a four-pack?
Whoa. $29.88 for a box includes 12 sealed aluminum pods that slide right out of this beautiful black and gold case. It looks super high-end. It looks very Starbucky-in, right? So we're looking at what?
I don't know.
$3-$4 a pod.
Yeah. They're leaving money on the table with me. They could have made a lot more.
They could have made more. All right. Well, there is a new brewless coffee on the market. You got to check it out. That's the future of almost everything. Those are the things we bring you on the show. As I said yesterday, we're going to start this regular coffee index. When I come into the show each and every day, I'm going to give you the price of the coffee I'm picking up so we can compare and contrast and see, hey, where's a deal? Where's not a deal? And, you know, I might give you some of my taste preferences, too.
Yeah.
Where'd you get your coffee this morning?
My house.
Your house?
Yeah.
You don't have a regular routine?
I usually will. Actually, my go-to is Wantable Cafe.
Okay.
Nice. And I don't know if this is special pricing because I go there so often, but it's $3.26 for a cup of coffee.
$3.26. All right. Mine was $3.19 this morning where I stopped.
Ooh,
super easy.
Burned me.
Got it on the app and donedeal.com. All right. This is the Upswing. We are live at the Bank 59 studio at Wisconsin State Fair. Coming up next, we're going to dive into what's new experience-wise, technology-wise, price-wise, right here at Wisconsin State Fair at Spin City. Welcome back to the Upswing, the future of almost everything. Steve Glenn. Steve, just a collaborator, a connector, involved early in the technology scene here in Greater Milwaukee. Now, Experience Milwaukee, Text Milwaukee, MISO.
MISO.
How are things at MISO from the business side?
Oh, my gosh. MISO is solid.
Yeah.
I know there's been a lot of talk in the media about financial stability among various arts organizations. MISO could not be in a better position.
Very good. Yeah. I love to see it. We need that creativity. We need that boost of entrepreneurial spirit. And just, you know, when you dive into the arts early on and you have people around you that are educating you and motivating you each and every day, no matter what you choose,
right,
even if you don't choose to have music as your career,
correct,
you're going to learn and grow. And we need more of that in the market for sure.
And we see that day in, day out at Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra with all of our kids moving on, graduating, you know, from MISO and making an impact on this community.
All right. I wanted to give a little overview as we're sitting here in the Bank 59 studio at Wisconsin State Fair Park. People are asking, you know, what's admission look like? Give me the full rundown of costs at Wisconsin State Fair. So we're looking at adults 12 and over,
$18.
$18. But today,
10 to 4, I think.
10 to 4, yeah. $5, Hunger Task Force gets you
in. Love them, yeah. You can't beat that.
Seniors 16 and older, only $13. Military and veterans with an ID, $13. Youth 6 to 11, $13. Children under 5,
yeah,
free.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. I mean, that's
helping families right there.
That's a great, great deal.
You know what? I walked through this gate to walk to the studio, and the energy is up already. And it was 9:42 in the morning.
Yeah. I was probably here an hour earlier, and the same thing. Even was probably a little shorter lines than you experienced getting in, but the lines were super easy to get through. People
security
were
was
smiling.
Quick and easy.
The rain, yeah, it was almost like a Florida-type rain. The rain came early. The heat came back up.
Yep.
The humidity came back up, and we're like, all right, this is State Fair. This is what it's all about. And, you know, it's great to be here. Let's talk a little bit about Spin City.
Yes.
So each year, State Fair kind of ups the ante, without a doubt, with new rides, both for kids and adults. Two new ones coming this year, Crazy Mouse. Crazy Mouse. It's a roller coaster with a twist featuring spinning cars on track. I don't know. I think my kids will experience that for sure. I'm a little bit more a little more tempered.
The spinnies don't appeal to me so much, but my kids love them.
And then the Kraken, featuring a great view of the city. It's a whopping 148 feet in the air.
That's cool.
Kraken is the tallest traveling pendulum ride in the U.S., swinging riders to new heights right here at Wisconsin State Fair.
I remember back in the day when I was a kid coming here, and I was a paper carrier, and so I came to the fair once with my pockets full of change, and I rode the zipper, and my change was lost.
All right. So you can skip the individual tickets this year at Spin City. Here's what's new. Unlimited rides with a Go Ride wristband during State Fair. What are you thinking that's going to cost you?
$40.
Ooh, very close. $45.
Oh.
$45.
Better on that than the coffee.
Yes. Not valid on the games, which I'm a big fan of the games at Spin City.
Yeah.
But if you have a voucher for the wristband, you can redeem it at the Spin City Redemption booth. It's not available on the weekends, but if you bought it online, you can use it on the weekends.
Yeah, you can't purchase it on the weekends,
that's right.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's still available on the weekends. $45.
That's a deal.
Spend the day on all the rides.
Forever?
Total deal. That is amazing. The Ferris wheel's back. Are you riding it? Take a guess. How much a Ferris wheel cost? We're going through all the economics
$8.
This morning. $8. Ooh, you're off by a buck.
No.
$7.
Oh,
there you go.
Price is right.
The Ferris wheel's amazing. I'm a big fan of Ferris wheels. A lot of cities that put them in, they're great like for placemaking and just lighting up the sky, almost kind of like the Light the Hone that
it's
we
a landmark,
have here.
Yeah,
we
for
should,
sure.
We should work on getting a Ferris wheel in downtown Milwaukee.
Put a Ferris wheel on the Hone.
Ooh, yes. All right. Add that to the list. All right. When we come back, do you set a budget at the State Fair looking at everyone walking past the booth? I'm wondering, do you have a certain dollar amount that you're like, I'm sticking to this at the State Fair? Or are you just like, I'm going, I'm having a good time, and I'm spending as much as I can?
We'll
this
see.
Is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Steve Glenn. Usually, Steve Glenn and Martin Moore are the future of almost everything. Martin, we miss you, but we'll see you next Thursday. In 2023, the Wisconsin State Fair welcomed a remarkable 1,043,350 fairgoers.
Wow.
To the best. I think they are the best 11 days of the summer. So let's see if we can top that number this year. So, Steve, when you take the family to an event, whether it's a state fair or not,
sure.
How do you put together that family budget? It's you, your wife, your kids. How do you tackle an event in the Glenn family?
So we usually talk about it leading in, right? Like, what are we going to do here? What does everyone get? We used to have a set dollar amount. Like, we went to Disney and everyone had a set dollar amount per kid to spend. But that was per kid. Then you're out in the jungle of it, and you just go. You just have fun, experience after experience.
And you're seeing different things. You're like, ooh, I need one of those, two of those. How about that? How about this?
Yeah, another beer.
Yeah. We do our best to load money on the apps for the kids, whether it's like, I think GoHenry is one of them that they have. So they can budget and they can see what they're spending each and every day. So if we go to an event and say, hey, you have X dollars loaded, use that to pay for what you want.
Yeah.
Go above and beyond that. You know, you may have to come back to the family bank and we might help you, but chances are that's what your budget is.
No credit line extension.
And I think it's a good life lesson, especially as you said, you know, when you get to an event, you're so excited to be there.
Yeah.
You just want to dive in and spend.
Yeah.
But it helps you kind of sit back and say, all right, I want to just take this in and experience it. I don't have to buy everything in sight.
My wife is definitely better at that than me.
Got
like, it. Probably because I'm having the beer and I'm like, yeah, let's do another game. Let's go. Wristbands.
All right.
Especially at State Fair.
I love it. All right. I wanted to get your thoughts on something we talked about yesterday, and I've talked about it a few times here on The Upswing. Kohl's has said to their employees, all right, come fall, if you're 30 miles within, we're saying it's time to come back to the office 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, you know, I think you and I have similar work styles in terms of flexibility.
Bounce around town.
A couple different offices where we're at. What do you think of the kind of or what are you hearing from some of the companies you're working with on return to office mandates, if you will?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. They all, those that are issuing mandates like that have a significant investment in facilities, and not just an office space, but at Kohl's they've got the kitchen, they've got the whole food set up for employees. It's a whole experience, right?
Yeah.
A number of things, and I can't say I disagree with it. I think you've got to have some flexibility, but there's some magic in getting people together And you can really feel that on campus. Particularly, I know we're kind of picking on Coles a little bit, but
yeah.
in particular,
I think we're analyzing it because I think people, it's one of these topics that people have a lot of passion on. Mm-hmm. You're like, you cannot mandate me to come back to the office. I will work how I want to work.
Right.
But you got to look at it from a holistic view at that, you know, Coles is in the recruitment and retention game.
Yeah.
Got a lot of new initiative they're rolling out. They want more collaboration. They want more connection.
Yeah.
And they have the office space that creates that environment. Why not be there and take advantage of it?
Yeah, to be honest, from my experience, things just get done faster in person in the same space. It just happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a little burned I bounce around, right?
Right.
But I'm bouncing to different places for different functions with the right people to get the things done for the main organization, which is MISO.
Yeah.
And so it's all in that effort. I'm fortunate to have some freedom to do that where I need to. I think employees can, but you've got to have some density in the office space too.
Right. And there's real economic issues that come around with it. You know, companies are paying for the infrastructure, paying the lease rates, paying to have the services at the space. So utilize them, connect with your fellow coworkers and teammates, and take advantage of the space. It's important.
Right on.
So I don't like seeing that issue. So this or that, I think there's always middle ground, and you got to go with the greater good to make it happen.
Right on.
We are live at the Bank 5-9 studio here at Wisconsin State Fair. It's the future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, no Martin Moore today. When we come back, a recent Wall Street Journal story revealed that Amazon's Alexa devices, I'm sure you have an Alexa at home, Steve, including the Echo smart speakers, are losing billions and billions of dollars. We have some ideas to rectify that. We're going to talk through the technology around Alexa. Welcome back to The Upswing, joined by Steve Glenn, the future of almost everything, not quite Martin Moore today, but just Steve and Jeff here live from the Bank 5 studios at Wisconsin State Fair. So we were talking a little bit early on, Steve, that State Fair has really been intentional about placemaking, creating a really walkable, almost a consumer-centric environment out here that, you know, really wasn't the case 10 years ago, and it really enhanced the entire experience.
I noticed it in 3 seconds walking in. It feels really like a neighborhood.
Yeah.
That you're walking through familiar spots like Camp Bar and, you know, different, of course, the big craft beer area behind us. But, it feels really, really cozy.
Yeah. You get that feeling that there's, you know, really intentional placemaking and wayfinding, just like really good downtowns do. Like, it's come to the State Fair. And I think it when you get out here, you're like, wow, I feel that as a State Fair goer. So kudos to the good team at State Fair. Speaking of State Fair, let's give away a 4-pack of tickets. The WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. Call in. Let's do caller number
11.
11 gets a 4-pack to the Wisconsin State Fair in 2024, starting today.
Did you just pull that text line right from memory?
I did. It's embedded, yes.
Nice work.
The call in line. Thank you. So, do you have Amazon Alexa-enabled device at home?
No, we're a Google House.
A Google House. Yeah. Okay, so do you have the Google Smart feature?
We've got a mesh network, and the pods can act as, you know, the Alexa does.
Okay.
But we turn them off.
All right. Well, let's see. Let me give you some numbers behind Amazon. So they have the Alexa-enabled devices, including the Echo Smart speakers, which they promoted heavily. You could buy probably off of Amazon for $20 early on. So they sold a ton of them between 2017 and 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon's device business, which includes all their Alexa-enabled products, reportedly lost over $25 billion. Billion with a B, this according to the Wall Street Journal. However, it's interesting to look at it. Amazon's original idea for their smart speakers was they thought people would buy stuff.
Yeah.
You'd walk into the room and say, hey,
Alexa, give me some coffee today.
Buy me my Tide. Yeah. Buy me my coffee. But most people are using them to check weather, to check sports scores,
listen to music,
their horoscopes, to listen to their music, to do that type of thing, which makes their lives, you know, a little bit more fun and entertaining.
Yeah.
But how do you think Amazon eventually, because at some point they're going to have to say, all right, this can't just be a loss leader.
Yeah.
We got to make money on it. How do they do that through subscription service?
Were they just a little too early? Because, you know, I look at a speaker and I'm like, yeah, that's got to play some music in a really well way. You know, like it's got to sound really great. My kids look at a speaker and say, I need to talk to that.
Yeah.
They just don't have the purchase power yet.
Yeah, I mean, it could be generational, for without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
People think, well, all right, that thing is supposed to just give me sound, and that's all I can do with it.
Right.
But how do you enable the technology? And Amazon has so much AI behind their systems that eventually it's going to be more user-friendly to buy and to purchase. But right now, if say, Alexa, buy me a new pair of black men's shorts.
Mm-hmm.
You get this long, drawn-out explanation, and I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
But I like that simplicity of buying something through a smart speaker.
Yeah, so I do, too. I do, too. Let me be real on that. I do.
Okay.
There is just such a visual process involved with shopping on Amazon.com because of all of the options, all of the shipping nuances, everything with your Prime membership. I think you've got to kind of be in there if you're going to get the best deal at the best time, which is different than talking to a speaker. Now, if I just want laundry detergent and it's going to go in my history and buy the last one I bought or my subscription, I've got like two or three, four or five subscriptions to products on Amazon, then I'm cool. Then I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, you could see a point where maybe to turn on your Alexa-enabled device, you have to, there's some kind of login prompt right away that gives you two deals, and you can't, quote, scan through it.
Yeah.
And that maybe they'll use that as a way to kind of force people to make a transaction right off the bat.
And maybe it's, you know, for someone like me who sees it more as an output device, how do you get me to start managing some of my subscriptions first, as a first step?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, well, while I'm here, I might as well order some instant coffee from Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. And I really like the opportunity to integrate it with Amazon Prime programming.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're watching something on Amazon Prime, you can scan over a certain shirt that you see on one of the actors or actresses and buy it instantly. So I think that's where we're going with the technology.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to keep an eye on it for sure. A lot of opportunity, but the losses are mounting for Amazon there. But
poor Amazon.
They're a big enough company to overcome it, I think, without a doubt. So this is The Upswing. We are live at the Bank 5-9 studio at Wisconsin State Fair. The future of almost everything. What is the future of local retail? Some bumps in the road in Bayview. We're going to look into that when we come back. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Steve Glenn. Let us look into the dynamics and the economics and the ups and downs of local retail. The Milwaukee Business Journal detailed this week the closure of Sparrow Collective, a small independent gift shop in Milwaukee's Bayview neighborhood, after 15 years of operation. The owner cited kind of post-pandemic challenges, primary reasons for closing the store, known for selling handmade gifts, local artisans, like really a cool, eclectic mix in that store for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And to power through through 15 years as a local independent retailer, it kind of breaks your heart to see local retail closing.
Yeah. I know, and there's a good, probably, and I'm probably not counting correctly, but a good dozen or more of these type of shops that really are the hardest working, hardest marketing business owners in the city.
Yeah.
And they depend on that foot traffic to come walking by or people to pull up, so.
Yeah, and so many of them, you know, really depend upon the community support, on the social support. They don't have huge infrastructure in the e-commerce world because they just don't have the resources and capacity to power that.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you seeing in terms of kind of How can local retailers continue to adapt to ever-changing market conditions?
You know, I think there's some similarities to the arts groups. You know, these are the fabric of what we go and do when we experience a city, and how do we support in different ways? You speak about technology, right? It's sometimes a financial issue. It's always a very often an issue of just capacity. And for that business owner to focus on an online store to compete, it's hard. I mean, like, Moda3's done a really good job with that and a couple others, but it's not easy.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have unique brands. You really have to be strong with the customer service, and you have to build up that loyalty. But like owning an independent restaurant, that all takes a ton of work, and it has to be front and center to everything that you do, and even that. It's hard. But from a consumer standpoint, and I would suggest for all of us to put local retail front and center on our list too, when you're going to buy a gift, when you're going to shop, say, hey, wow, where's the best place in my community? I am going to support that first.
Yeah, and pick one, right? You don't have to do all of them all the time. Pick one and start there.
Yes, make a list of local retailers and use it often.
Yes.
All right, we are going to discuss a little drop in investments in startups. Steve Glenn is well versed in the startup space. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, and you are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. We are broadcasting live from the Bank 5-9 studio here at Wisconsin State Fair. A really active, busy crowd. People holding lemonades. I see a couple beers out there, too.
I saw several already.
A great smiling crowd. Little overcast, but always sunshine and smiles here at this fair. Since we're talking about the fair and small businesses and vendors, let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft Restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. The Sherman family, we live in the North Shore, and we want to get the kids out of the attic, away from the Xbox, and get them into the huge $2 million game room in Hartford. We go to the Mineshaft, a staple for the Sherman family. Great pizza. Mom and Dad can sit at the bar, hang out as a family, and know that the kids are cool hanging out on their own in the game room. Caller number 6 to 855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. And a friendly reminder that Thursdays, that's today, feature buy one, get one free pizza.
Or buy five and get five free.
Oh, there you go.
Bring your whole team.
Quick math. I love it. All right. So a story I saw yesterday at Business Journal detailed a significant decline in investments for young Wisconsin companies in 2023. Investment fell by 23% compared to the previous year, with a total funding dropping by over $500 million. From $500 million to $500 million from $657 million in 2022. The report details that 10 deals accounted for nearly three quarters of that total investment amount. What are you seeing in the tech ecosystem space, a place that, you know, you've played and invested in heavily?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of frustration right now. And it's not just, you know, I think it's not just high tech, it's across the board. Early stage ideas are just not finding funding. And I don't know what that says about the ecosystem or the investors or the founders themselves, but it's frustrating right now.
Well, and how do we as a state and a region rectify that?
Yeah, I think we're running away from our core. We're running away from the things that we do really well in this region, in this state, in this city, Milwaukee, and we're trying to find things that exist in other places. And we're not investing in the entrepreneurs who have the knowledge and the companies who have the buying power to get these first customer situations happening.
Yeah, I mean, it does really kind of raise some compelling questions as to the future of raising money for not only technology startups, but for any startup venture in the market. You know, we have to have that ecosystem. We have to have those relationships and the organizations. I think we've come a long way in the last 15 years, though, in terms of organizing groups and infrastructure, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And connections.
Yes.
And where these people are that would make the investment and where the people are that are making the ideas. It's just that we've got to, this is like our local retail, right? We have to, as a community, buy the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And believe in and support these young ideas.
Yeah, and you have to be willing, I think, whether you're a bank, whether you're a small firm that's making investments, you have to be willing to take a little bit more risk.
Yes.
And really invest in the people and maybe not so much the process and the idea, while that's incredibly important,
mm-hmm.
but the people we want here, and we want more risk takers coming to the market who are able to see, all right, that business got funded and failed, but that's okay. The next one, step up, and we're going to make that investment too, because we're willing to roll the dice.
Because otherwise these people are leaving.
Yeah.
They're leaving Milwaukee.
And it's all about recruitment and retention, and we have to be known as a market that's willing to take a little bit more risk, because that's how you get to the upswing, Steve.
Right. That's right. And you know what? I thought we were going to talk about cream puffs. Now I'm all fired up on this topic.
And we're always through our first episode, or our first show here at State Fair, and we didn't even mention the cream puff.
Yeah.
But gives us something to talk about next time.
Perfect.
All right. Live from the Bank 5-9 studio here at Wisconsin State Fair.